Revelation 20. Would you go there, please? We have been going through on Wednesday evenings and looking at the end times and what's coming and what's happening. And I appreciate you staying with me on that. Revelation 20, we're going to bring it down to the finish line here, hopefully, and see what's going to take place. As you already know, we've seen that the next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church, the body of believers. And when that's done, we'll be in heaven with the Lord. You know that. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll get to enjoy a great time of fellowship with the believers and with each other. And those things during that time will be the seven-year tribulation on this earth. It will be horrific, challenging. It will be the hardest, most difficult time in all of human history. And in the middle of that, will the Antichrist will come and turn his back on Israel. And the wars will come. We looked at last week, that great battle of Armageddon. And that battle will take place. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of business, and he will rule and reign through all of that. Now comes that great millennium that will take place on this earth. And we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to literally rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, that's something a little bit hard for us to understand or think about, but it is something in the scripture that we have to take heed to. Notice chapter 20 of Revelation, he says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the whole nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, we're going to see here in just a minute this great millennium taking place. Now, obviously, you know the word millennium means 1,000 years. Now, to think about that, you think back 1,000 years from today, that's a long time ago. And now it's going to be a long time to reign with Christ on this earth. But we must remember this is going to be a very precious and sweet time. Now, he's setting up the kingdom again. This time, Christ will finish the first resurrection. He was the first to be raised from the dead, never to die again. The dead in Christ were raised at the rapture. Now, those believers who died during the tribulation, along with the Old Testament saints, are resurrected. We go through some of these things. During this, the Lord is preparing the people, all of those things, and we'll see some of that, hopefully, in the last message there. But now, what's the purpose of the millennium? Now, the millennium, number one, is to demonstrate God's right to rule on this earth. We talked a little bit about it last week with his great battle of Armageddon, but Satan rose up, as you know, Isaiah 14, and says, I will ascend, I'll be like the Most High, I will. Now, you fast forward here to the New Testament age in which we live right now, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says what? There is a God of this world, lowercase G-O-D. That's our adversary. He deceives all people. That's what he said there in verse number 2 and 3. He deceives all. Now, he is the God of this world, and God is going to demonstrate his right to rule. Just a few things again, like we said last week, but Isaiah 14, God's right to rule was challenged by Lucifer. Lucifer, one of the created angels, you know this, decided to make himself ruler, didn't he? He says, number one, I'll ascend into heaven. He thought to make his home in the third or the highest heaven above where God had assigned him. Again, a reminder of that. Grow where you're planted and do what you're supposed to do where God has put you. He said, I don't like where I am. I don't like that he got out ahead of God like we often do, don't we? But he said he got out ahead. I'll ascend to, I'll exalt my throne above the stars. I'll sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High God. He wanted authority. He wanted to possess heaven and earth. Now, this sometimes happened. or happened sometime after God had finished the creation and made Adam ruler of the earth. As a result of this, Lucifer became what we term today Satan, adversary, and he began to rebel against God and became ultimately the god of this world. Now today we see that all around us. I see some things going on. I saw some things going on the other day. And I thought, how can people do that? How can they live like that? How can they do it? Have no guilt. Nothing affects their conscience. They just live however. Ungodly lifestyles, right? Well, there's a god of this world. And he is blinding, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, blinding the minds of those people. They are in a state of blindness, if you will, spiritual blindness. Now, that's when we come with the gospel, and it's referenced in the Bible as well, the glorious gospel. The light should shine unto them. All of that. There's darkness over the world and unbelievers. We present the gospel, and it's the light that comes to their lives. Now, Lucifer, he became Satan. He will be bound in this bottomless pit. We just read that. 2 and 3, verse 7 again. Satan shall be loosed out of the prison. Now, he spoiled the beauty of heaven. We saw that. Ezekiel 28. He spoiled it. He spoiled the beauty in the garden. Everywhere he goes, he spoils it, doesn't he? He goes to the garden and ruins it. Brings sin into this world. He spoiled the beauty of God's plans. They go from there and they go to the Tower of Babel. They begin to erect this. Genesis 11. At Kadesh Barnea, at Jerusalem. We know in the church later, Revelation 2 and 3, talks about this. But all of these things, the adversary is working to destroy. And by the way, don't think for a minute that you are exempt from any of that. He's working actively right now to destroy your marriage. He's working actively right now to destroy your children and get them away so they don't hear the gospel, they don't respond to the gospel. He's working right now. We see that all around us, don't we? We saw some things on the news this week about people. And even that incident around your house, we thought about that. A family ripped apart because of a bad decision, because of they allowing, as far as we know, I don't know, drug use and other things. Ruin. It's all coming back to sin. Now that's what the adversary does. He destroys and divides and ruins. Now, notice this though. He will not be allowed to spoil this plan. God, Jesus Christ, will rule and reign, and he will lay hold on, verse 2, the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bind him. You see the power there. I'm glad we're on the winning side. I think about that. I heard some guy just recently, he was saying that it was a video clip of him. Some guy was presenting the gospel to him. He said, oh, no, I don't believe in that. He says, don't you believe in a hell? He says, well, yeah. He says, that's where me and my buddies are going to go, you know, making light of it, right? And he chuckled at that. It was funny, and blah, all the his cronies were laughing at that. But truly, he won't be laughing at this incident. He will not laugh. And when he comes to this point, when the adversary comes and realizes where he's going and what's going to happen. Now, by the way, I should rephrase that. I should erase that and say this. The adversary knows where he's going. People don't know where they're going, but the adversary does. And he knows what's going to happen. You recall Jesus coming, and in one instance, a man came and fell down at Jesus' feet, and he was possessed. But he said what? Torment me not before the time, right? Don't torment me. They know where they're going. They know what's going to come. Now, thinking through some of these things, Lucifer, Satan, will be bound. Now, next, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule the whole world. Listen to Isaiah 9 and verse 6, just as a reminder. Unto you is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Speaking of Jesus on the throne, he will fulfill that great Davidic covenant of sitting on the throne of David. Now, some of these things, he will come and rule. David will again rule as prince of Israel under Christ. Many verses here, Jeremiah 30, verse 9, Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 37, David, my servant, shall be king over them. They shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. You and I will rule with Christ. I don't know what he's going to specifically have us do. The Bible's not clear on that. But, hey, it's good with me. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. There will be no sin. There will be none of that. And we will understand and get a glimpse of our eternality to come after this. But you think about what God has planned for each one of us. This ought to stir your hearts. And the 12 apostles will rule the 12 tribes of Israel under David. We know that, Matthew 19:28. Others will rule in lesser authority over Palestine, Luke 19. And then number two, the bride who is now his wife will also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2, he says, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And he goes on in Revelation 5, in Revelation, as we just read, chapter 20, verse 6. So, thinking through some of the will rule and reign. The seat of his government will be the new Jerusalem. Let me say next here, the millennium is a thousand-year, really a holiday, if you will, on earth. A holiday. Now, describing some of this in Isaiah chapter 11, you can go there with me if you want to. Isaiah 11, he's talking a little bit about some of this, but it's literally going to be like a holiday on this earth. A joyous time, a rejoicing time. Boy, as we think about. He says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He goes on, I won't read all of it, but he goes on throughout the entire chapter. As we think about it, I encourage you to read through the rest of the chapter on your own. But it's exemplifying what Christ is going to do here. It's a holiday. It's the millennia, a thousand-year reign. It'll be a thousand years of peace, a thousand years of righteousness, justice, fairness, cleanliness, prosperity. God will not allow sin to completely spoil what he planned for this world in the beginning. We're going to come all the way back to where we should have been in the beginning. He'll establish his kingdom. He'll allow it to run for these thousand years. He's promised this. It'll be a glorious, joyful time, fulfilling and exciting. Righteousness, obedience, as he mentioned some of these things here. A time of holiness, time of truth. I was thinking about that. I can't wait for that. No longer we will deal with that sinful nature. We won't deal with those problems, will we? Wondering if I should do this or I should do that. I really want to fulfill this, but I don't know if I can. My flesh is fighting me, but no more of that. And it'll be a joyous time. By the way, we'll be with Christ literally. Can you imagine going and I don't know how it'll be, but maybe taking a number and saying, and getting to sit down with Jesus Christ, getting to sit there with him. Lord, I have a few questions I'd like to ask. And I'd like to spend time. It's just going to be amazing. I can't describe it. But we think about a time of holiness, time of truth. It'll be a time of the fullness of the Spirit. There'll be peace, joy, and comfort. Economic prosperity. Freedom from oppression. Oppression. We don't know one day without the oppression of the adversary, do we? One day. I literally believe it's going to be like a weight lifted off our shoulders. There's no more adversary to oppress us, to defile things, to see degradation. There will be no curse, no sickness, no deformity. There'll be instruction, full knowledge, a unified language. You think about how many people disagree, good people, Bible-believing people, disagree with things in this book, right? I mean, we take some people, like, for instance, people tonight are celebrating. Isn't it Ash Wednesday today? Is it Ash Wednesday? I don't know. Was it? Oh, that was last week. But there's some things like that we don't really agree. We don't follow some of that. There's a lot of things we don't agree with other, you could say, denominations and things. There's going to be full knowledge. We're going to be all together. And none of that fighting, none of that arguing. We'll have full knowledge of everything God and the Lord wants us to know, unified. There'll be personal presence of God, unified worship. There will be fruitful labor. By the way, it's not going to be a time where we sit back and just don't do anything. He'll have us put to work, okay? We'll have a good time. Yeah, the millennium, let me say thirdly, will be a final test of man. Now, final test of man. Let me go back to Revelation 20 and read this last portion for you. In Revelation 20, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the final time. He will forever cast him out. It's the final test of man. Again, God did not force Satan to worship him. God did not force Adam to worship him. God did not force you, me, anybody to worship him. God never will. God never has. He's given us a free will. He gave Adam and Eve an opportunity in the garden to make a decision, didn't he? And they made a bad decision. But he desired, because he is love, he desired to see them have a true relationship with him with a free will. Now, he will not force those born in the millennium to worship him. This is a decision, just talking about. It'll be a final test for man. Those born during the millennium will need to be converted by submitting to Jesus Christ, we believe, receiving his death on the cross, same as we did. The difference is they will be able to see him. Many will do this. Many will do this. We see this. The saints are mentioned in verse number 9, but just thinking about that. During this time, man will be living under the most ideal circumstances. All outward source of temptation will be removed. Satan will be bound. All of their needs will be met abundantly. They will live in an environment that is no more curse, perfect justice, oppression, and no more abuse tolerated. Thinking through some of these things, let me skip. But we think about here, are you prepared tonight for his return? I say this, and I've tried to say this at the end of each of these messages, but to think about, I want to be a part of this. I know you do too, or whoever may be listening here, that we want to be a part of what's coming and this 1,000-year reign of our Lord. I'd encourage you again to read through the book of Revelation and the latter portion of it. But it's very clear. People get confused about it, get a little bit not sure what to believe, but it's very clear in Scripture what's coming, what's going to take place, and what's happening. So as we come through this, it's going to be a seemingly long time, but remember this, what? 1,000 years is what? As a day with the Lord, right? And a day is 1,000 years. So I think we'll be in such a state of, enjoyment, such a state of awe and worship. It will seem like just a 24-hour day, although it's 1,000 years. But we see here, now, encourage, as we mentioned tonight in prayer, reaching the people around us. Looking out and seeing, are we reaching those, encouraging those? Some people are right on the edge, right on the precipice maybe of salvation, and they're going through a difficult season right now, and I hope they see that. But may we be the light to maybe nudge them a little bit towards Christ. Besides that, other people that maybe you don't know, they're just acquaintances or passerbys on the street, being what we should be for them, right? Sharing the gospel, reaching them, sharing, presenting them with a tract or something of that nature, and reaching out, because I don't want to see anybody, especially that we know or love or care for, go through the tribulation and ultimately be cast out forever and ever. Hell is real. We don't like to talk about it or preach on it, but it is real. It's a reality we must face. And no matter what they say about somebody that you know that passed away, if they were a good person, they might be there. We have to come back to, did they follow the Bible? Was it the gospel that they believed? Was it Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? Do we know that? And so coming back to, this millennium that will coming down, and I hope that we'll get to see this very soon. I really believe our world is getting worse and worse. You know that, waxing worse and worse. But we'll see soon what's going to culminate and come together. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see it. And it may not be in our lifetimes, will it? We may, hey, maybe another 2,000-3,000 years. But hey, I want to be where I'm supposed to be. And again, being aware of all of this and warning people about what's coming. We need to be prepared, all right? Okay, I'll stop there and appreciate you listening. But thinking about, oh, what a time that's coming for us, bliss, enjoyment, oh, glory and majesty for the unbelievers, for this world, a time of horrendous wickedness and defilement and ultimately destruction. I pray for those people. I hope you are as well. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time tonight and to briefly look over this millennium. There's not much, Lord, to really say about it in detail, other than that, Lord, it's a 1,000-year reign that we'll have with you. And there will be no more of the oppression of the curse, Lord, and we'll have 1,000 years to enjoy you, Lord, on this earth. And Lord, hopefully next week we'll be able to look at that last message on eternal bliss that we'll have in heaven. And we can't fathom really eternity in our minds, because we think about time. Everything is a time limit. But Lord, we pray for your help to understand it. Help us, God, especially to do our part in reaching those around us. Lord, we dare not, would hate to see anyone love, our loved ones or friends, be separated from you for all of eternity. Help us to do our part as we know what's coming, as we understand your scriptures. And we thank and love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.